Does that work? There we go. I had the mute button on. All right. I'm excited and a little nervous for this morning. I'm not often nervous, but today I am. So anyhow, I guess that's good. Today's Mother's Day, and I don't often speak on Mother's Day but today I was led to. And I have to ponder a few questions, and I'm sure we'll all gather something from this message. So I asked myself a few questions, and I have to preface this to say that I did not ask my wife. And I did not ask my daughter. And the first question I asked myself was, what would mothers want me to say to their children? What would mothers want me to say to their children? Another question that I am attempting to answer today would, what would mothers want me to say to you all? And another question I'm attempting to answer, I guess, is, and this one, this one's so brief I can't get it wrong, but it's kind of scary to say, what should mothers do? Oh boy, I might be in trouble, but it's really short, okay, so. I trust that the Spirit has led me, and I trust that the Spirit would be evident this morning as I share, because I'm stepping into places I don't really know and trusting that God has led me. What would mothers want me to say to their children? So the thing that I pondered, well, I think mothers would like to have children's church. I think I've heard that a few times, so I don't know how many children are here. It looks a little empty, but children's church is in order this morning. So I roped off the first couple of chairs, or had the ushers do that. So second, third, and fourth graders can come on up to the front chairs, and we're going to have children's church. And it may end up being half the service, but we'll see. So we're going to, children, come on front. You can sit in the front chairs, second, third, and fourth grade. And we're going to have children's church, sort of. Yeah, there's two rows. Sure. Have a seat. Thank you for coming. Good morning. Thank you for coming. So, what do you think your moms would want me to tell you? Oh, something about the Bible. And so, you know what I thought of? Maybe you don't want to hear this, but I think maybe your mommies want me to tell you this. It says, Ephesians 6, 1-3, you guys know that one? You know what it says? It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. Do you know that verse kind of sets a tone for your life? That's kind of being our theme. I'm going to say that over and over, kind of set a tone for your life is what I'm going to say. And we're going to talk about setting a tone. So this was Paul writing in Ephesians, but he's quoting, he said it's a commandment. Do you guys know the commandments, right? The Ten Commandments? Yeah, you guys have heard of that? The Ten Commandments? Did you know that one of the Ten Commandments is to honor your mother and your father? That's one of the Ten Commandments. Okay? So should we go through the Ten Commandments? We'll look at them this morning, okay? Says, I am the Lord your God, and I brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. This is from Exodus 20. And God says, he says, you shall have no other gods before me, and you shall not make for yourself a carved image of any likeness. You shall have no other gods before you. You should not make any carved image, and you should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You know what that is? You shouldn't say Jesus' name without really meaning it. A lot of people do in the world, but we shouldn't do that. It's one of the Ten Commandments. And it also says to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. To remember the Sabbath day, to keep Sunday holy. 6 days that we work, and then Sunday we don't work. And we do that because God said so in the Ten Commandments. And then the next one, it says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord God is giving you. That's in the Ten Commandments about honoring your mom and dad. Isn't that cool? And then it says, you shall not murder. You remember that one. And then it says, you shall not commit adultery. You remember that one too. Mm-hmm. And it says, you shall not steal. And you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. That means lying, saying that your neighbor did something, but he didn't do it. You shouldn't lie against your neighbor. And you shouldn't covet your neighbor's house. You shouldn't cover your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his male female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that's your neighbor's. What is covet? Do you know what that is? Covet? Covet means to want something that's not yours. You got that? Covet means to want something that you don't have. And the God asks us not to covet other people's things. We're not supposed to want somebody else's new bicycle. We're supposed to be happy with ours, right? We're not supposed to want somebody else's goats, even if their goats are really cute, right? Somebody else has goats here, I know. So I'm partial to goat people. So did you know the Ten Commandments? Do you know who wrote the Ten Commandments? Do you know who wrote the Ten Commandments? Yes, who? Jesus, close, yeah. God wrote the Ten Commandments is what it says, but it could be the manifestation of Jesus for sure. So in Deuteronomy 9:10, this is what it says. It says, the Lord delivered to me two tablets of stone written with the finger of God. And on them were the words which the Lord had spoken to you on the mountain from the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. God took his hand and he wrote on these tablets, he wrote the Ten Commandments with his finger. Did you know that? There's one thing that we have in our Bible. See, our Bible's inspired, and many, many people came together through the Holy Spirit and wrote the book. But there are a few words that God wrote himself with his finger on the stone, and that is the Ten Commandments. And on those Ten Commandments is you should honor your mother and your father. It's pretty important. Honoring your mother and your father, that kind of sets a tone for your life. Do you know that? What is setting a tone? Do you know what that means? Setting a tone. Do you know what that means? You don't know what that means? Well, I have something to show you about setting a tone, okay? I hid something in here before the service when you guys weren't looking. Oh, what's in here? Oh, look at that. Do you guys know what that is? Yes? That's a violin. Yes. That is a violin. Has anybody played here my violin before? Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Didn't you play my violin? Yes, you did too. Mm-hmm. So this is called a tuning fork. Have you ever seen a tuning fork? You never saw a tuning fork? Yes. Did you see it? Your music teacher uses a tuning fork. A tuning fork is really neat, okay? When you use a tuning fork and you knock it against something like your knee, you're not supposed to do anything real hard, it vibrates back and forth and makes a noise. But it's kind of weird, you can't hear it. Isn't that weird? Listen, see? Do you hear? Yeah. Just a wee tiny, tiny little bit, do you? But when you apply this tone to an instrument, then you can hear it. Okay? So this is very quiet, and we have to listen for this, okay? So when we use a tuning fork, we hit it. Did you hear that? Yeah. Isn't that neat? You don't hear it when you hit it. It's very quiet. When you put it on the instrument, can you guys hear that over there? So it doesn't make any noise until you put on the instrument. And the instrument is so gentle and fragile, if you want to say, that you can put it different places. Do you hear that? Because the wood vibrates and resonates with the sound. Because this tuning fork, even though it doesn't look like it, it's going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. It makes a tone. And you know what we do with this tone? We're supposed to tune our violin to this. It's kind of setting the tone for your violin. Okay? So you hit this. Oh, that's not good, is it? No, that's not good. We have to fix that, don't we? Is that close? Not quite. We're getting close. Can you hear? Almost got it. Oh, that might be it. Did you tell? Pretty close. It's taking me a lot longer, sorry. I was a little worried about this. Oh, that might be it. Did that sound the same? There it is, same. Thank you. So, and that's a lot like the Ten Commandments. And when you obey your mom and dad, you set the tone for your life. You kind of ring the tone and apply it to your life. And then you can tune yourself in. Isn't that cool? That's a lot like that Ten Commandments. What's something else that kind of sets the tone for your life? What's something else that kind of sets the tone for your life? Something I thought about, what would your mommies want me to tell you? I think it's important, and I think your mommies would like for me to tell you, that it's important to have good friends. Isn't that true? It's important to have good friends. And did you know, I'm going to turn to it, in Matthew 7, 15, starting in verse 15, it says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are like ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit. But a bad tree bears bad fruit," right? "A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." Did you know that's how you can tell how you have good friends and bad friends? It's by the fruit, right? Good friends do good things, and they're kind to you, and they're nice, right? Bad friends aren't very kind to you, are they? And they don't do very nice things. And we are supposed to be careful who our friends are. Do you know what my mom used to tell me? She used to tell me that I am who my friends are. And I was like, no. But my mom used to tell me that I am who my friends are. And did you know that my parents were so concerned about my friends that when I had to come home at night, it was determined by who I was with. They would ask me, "Who are you with? Who are your friends today?" And I would tell them, and they'd say, "You have to be home by 10. And then they would ask me, "Who are your friends today?" And I would tell them, and they would say, "Have a good night." Because it's very important who you pick to be your friends. It's important to have good friends that have good fruit, that do good things. And I think your mommies would want you to do that, to make sure you have good friends. That kind of sets the tone for your life. And when you add obeying your parents to good friends, you know what I mean? You can tune your life a little bit more. So, that's on tune. Is this on tune? Not too much. Should we fix that one? Is that better or not? You can't tell. It's hard for me to tell all of a sudden. Echo in here or something. There it is. It's an octave, supposed to be, if my ears are good. So anyhow, so that's something that helps, again, keep your life in tune by making sure you have good friends. What's another thing that kind of sets the tune, that would set a tone for your life? What is something that you think maybe your moms would want you to know? And I thought of something else. So another thing that I think your moms would want you to know, it's important to give your tithes to God. You guys know what that is? You know what a tithe is? You know, what's a tithe? When you give money, that's true. That can be a tithe. Are there other things that can be tithes too? What else could be a tithe? Money's a tithe. Maybe your time. Oh, could your time be a tithe? Have your parents ever helped someone else? Taken the time out of their day to go help somebody else do mulch or help somebody else mow their yard or trim their bushes? Did you know that's kind of like a tithe too? It's tithing your time. What else would be some things that are like a tithe? How about playing instruments? Did you know the people that lead us in worship, they practice and they meet together and they don't go somewhere else on Tuesday night, they come here and they practice because they tithe their talents and their gifts to God to lead us on Sunday morning. Maybe some of you would like to play the violin someday. Did you know I started playing the violin when I was in seventh grade? Nobody's in seventh grade here, right? Nope. No seventh graders up front. So I played violin from seventh grade through 12th grade. So you all have time to learn how to play the violin. Isn't that cool? And maybe that's one of your talents or one of your gifts that you can tithe to God. So in Genesis 14, Abraham tithed to the priest of the Most High God. Abraham, he tithed. He got a lot of increase. He won a battle, and of all the stuff that he got in the battle, he gave a tithe, which typically means 10%. He gave that to God. So this tithe, did you know that it didn't say anything about tithing in the Ten Commandments? Did you think about that? It didn't say anything about tithing in the Ten Commandments. Did you know that tithing was Abraham long before Moses? Tithing began early, early on, way before the law and the commandments that we are instructed to tithe. So what happens when you tithe? What kind of tone does that set for your life? When you recognize that everything you get and everything that you can do and all your talents, they all belong to God, tithing recognizes that because you give a portion back to God. And that kind of sets a tone for your life when you're able to tithe of your time, of your money, and of your gifts and of your talents. It's tithing. And so I'm going to attempt to finish tuning this. Hopefully this doesn't take long. Still didn't quite get that one. Still didn't get that one. I think that's it. Yep, that's it. Okay, so setting the tone for your life, there was three things. Do you remember them? It was obeying your parents, honoring your father and your mother. It was making sure you have good friends, right? And the other one was tithing of your time and of your gifts and of your talents. Now, do you want me to play a short song before you go back? Okay? Okay, we'll see. Now, I haven't played this song in front of more than four people for 30 years. So I'm going to try to keep it really short, and I might mess up, okay? So we'll see what happens. Okay, you can go back to your parents now. Thank you. So that brings me to the next question of what would mothers want me to say to you all? And I came upon the scripture, Matthew 18, 1 to 5. And it says, I'll let you find it there, Matthew 18, 1 to 5. Matthew 18, it says that at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses. For offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses come." We take the safety of our children very serious here at New Covenant Mennonite Fellowship. In fact, we even have a committee for this. We call it the Child Protection Team. Not that we intend to take any responsibility away from you as parents to watch where your children go before and after church, but that during Sunday school, we make sure that we have the correct safe people who are responsible as teachers and helpers. We are very serious about this, and these verses actually read like Jesus himself is very serious about this. Jesus himself, quoting Jesus, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea." Now, we do believe in forgiveness. We do believe in redemption. But there are consequences. And here, we don't run from the consequences, whether they be from inside the building or outside the building. We don't run from consequences. And so, There's so much more I could elaborate, but it takes away some of the joy of Mother's Day. So I'll leave it there. Know that we're serious about protecting our children. And know that Jesus is and was too. And so, and I believe again, it's something that mothers would want me to say to you all. Another thing that mothers would want me to say to you is to pray for the hearts of their children. Pray for the hearts of their children. And this is a call. It's not a program that needs to be announced or business cards made up or index cards written down, but this is a call to you as a congregation. Pray for the hearts of the children here, especially those who have been fostered or adopted. It would be a wonderful thing if you who are called to pray here would pick a name from one of the many adopted children here and pray for their hearts and let their mothers know that you're praying for them. I was able to spend time out of state. I'm not going to mention names here, but I was able to spend some time out of state recently and interact with someone from here. And one of them that they care for has a fear of being left alone. Cannot be the last one in the house. Would come to tears to find everyone else gone and not them. He's 4. And just completely comes unglued if he's last anywhere for fear that he's left. Especially those that, again, have come from outside and are being cared for by those here. If God would lay it on your heart to pick one of a child that would have been fostered or adopted, that you would let them know that you can pray for them. This, I believe this sets the tone for their lives. And I think it allows parents to breathe easier even if things don't go quite as dreamed. Pray that their hearts, pray in this way. Pray that their hearts would be soft towards God in His ways. Pray that their hearts would be soft towards God in His ways. This sets the tone and allows for finer tuning. It does not make everything easy or perfect, but it keeps the end goal in sight and allows for the ups and downs of life to not get too distracting. Pray that the hearts of the little ones here would be soft towards God. And again, would it be that God would call some of you to do that? Which brings us to, and I again have a little hesitancy, but here it comes, I guess, what mothers should do. Not that they don't have enough already. What mothers should do, always say, I love you to your children. I believe that sets the tone for your children and for you. Always be ready and willing to say, I love you. This little exercise keeps perspective and reminds you why you so painfully deeply care. And you do care about what they say and what they do. Sometimes painfully, yes. But saying, I love you, sets the tone. And when it's appropriate, I don't have this written down, and it was circulating through my mind, and it came to me again here, but Not anything to do with my family at all, in case you wonder, but when it's appropriate and as they grow, for mothers to be able to say why, to answer the question why. So I really believe that so many and so much conflict comes from a super caring heart that for protection, for providing, for caring. And so the response is often potentially negative. But if the child, as they grow, can understand why, I think the root of it is because I love you. And if you can get to that root, it helps a lot in the communication. Again, always be able to say, I love you to your children. And don't, the youth are gone, most of them. Sorry. No, there's a lot of guys here. Hi, guys. Good. There's a lot of guys gone, too, so, and girls. But anyhow, even if they're young men, absolutely, do not stop saying, I love you. It does not get old. You're reminded if you ever watch a football game and there's a young man in a uniform, first thing he says is, hi, Mom, right, when the TV's on him. Children are always ready to hear, I love you, from their mom. And so, I was going to start with this verse, but I'm going to close with it instead here. It kind of worked its way to the bottom. Colossians 4, 5, and 6. It says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. And for some reason, the next sentence I connected with mothers, and it says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. As we have raised children, they are all different. They all need different answers. They all need different instruction, so it seems. And I connected with this verse 6 here of Colossians 4. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. I struggled with being upset that it was short this morning. I spent hours trying to make it longer, and nothing happened. I went through, I added stuff, I took it out. But this is it. This is what we have this morning. So let's bless it and give it to God for Him to provide the increase this morning. Dear God, we are thankful of Your Word. We are thankful for the way that Your finger came down from heaven and wrote for us the Ten Commandments. God, help us all to be able to honor our mothers and our fathers. God, we see that it's Your heart, and we see that it sets a tone for the rest of our life. God, help those to honor parents here tonight that may be difficult. I'm certain there's some here that might struggle to honor their parents. God, I pray that You would give them the grace. God, I also pray for the hearts of those here, little ones this morning. God, I pray that their heart would be soft towards You and Your Word, that they would be able to connect to You as a loving father no matter what their examples have been. That your heart for care, which we read from Matthew 18 this morning, that Your heart for care for them would be found again in Your Word, that as they grow, that they would find solace, that they would find peace, that they would find comfort from who You are in Your Word, God. God, we pray for the hearts of the children, that they would be soft towards you and your word. God, if you have called some of us here to pray, I imagine that you would drive that deep into our hearts, that we could remember and that we would not forget to pray for your little ones. God, we are again thankful for the many ways that you give us. You give us of things. You give us of time. You give us of talents. And God, help us to tithe those, to give a portion of our increase back to you. By the example of Abraham this morning. God, again, we are grateful for all that you give us. Pray that you would bless this word, that it would continue forth, that it would run around in the corners of our mind, that it would settle into our hearts, that there could be change here this morning, not because of what I said, but because of your word, and because it's alive and it's real. God, I release you to work in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Would the chorister please come and lead us in a closing song?